This is Liz Scafidi at UN News. From India's Maharashtra state, super educator Ranjit Singh Desal was awarded a $1 million Global Teacher Prize for his exceptional impact on the lives of hundreds of students, especially girls. From more than 12,000 teachers from over 140 countries, Mr. Desal was selected for the annual award, sponsored by the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, and a UK-based nonprofit organization working to improve education access to underprivileged children. Recognized for going above and beyond, he changed the way parents perceive education and innovated classrooms to engage students and spark their interest. This extraordinary teacher even had a hand in helping to call off underage marriages. Speaking to UN News' Anshu Sharma, Mr. Desal began by telling her what it means for him to have received this accolade.
Actually, this award means a lot to my students. It's all about celebrating their success. And at the same time, this award means a lot to teaching community as well, because it shines light on teaching community and it gives them a respect that they deserve. It's not just about me, but I'm representing whole teaching community, entire teaching community across the world. So just talking about the moment, I still remember the day, 3rd of December, 2020, and when Mr. Stephen Fry announced my name, and I think my joy has no limit. You might have seen that reaction, and I was very humble, and I don't know how to express myself. So with the excitement and fully loaded excitement, I just hugged my mom. It's a proud moment for me as well. It's like lifetime achievement to me. I never imagined to become a first Indian teacher who will become the Global Teacher Prize winner.
Tell us about your journey. How did you start as a teacher and how did you reach this milestone?
You know, I never thought of becoming a teacher. I was supposed to be an engineer. It's what my dream. I'm a biggest fan of technology since childhood. And I decided to continue my career in the technology field. And I did started my career as an engineer in Solapur Engineering College. But I had to leave it off. I went back to home I was very depressed. But my father, who was a teacher, who told me, he actually advised me, Ranjit, why don't you think of joining a teacher's training college? So I went there in teacher's training college, and there I realized what teachers can do. The teachers in teacher's training college had filled pure passion in me, and they have changed me throughout. And just experiencing that change, I thought of, why don't I change the life of students as well. So this is how I became a teacher. And after completing my bachelor's degree there in teacher's training college, then government appointed me as a teacher in Jila Parishad Kutparitewadi. And I still remember the day one, 5th of January, 2009. And I went there and my headmaster took me to my classroom. He said, Ranjit, this is your classroom. And I just looked at it. I was very shocked. I said, sir, are you sure? He said, yes, this is your classroom. But I said, sir, it looked like a cattle shed. I never imagined a classroom in 21st century looks like this. And more interesting and surprising thing was that parents were not complaining about the status of classroom. They were completely unaware of education and the importance of it. And journey started from cowshed and now reach that global classroom. It's like cowshed to global classrooms in 12 years of a teaching career.
What work earned you this reward? Can you give us a few examples where, because of your intervention, things have gone better?
The problems before me were multiple. I had to start from the scratch. But I firmly believed technology will help me to bridge the gap between rural and urban India. So some of the intervention like QR coded textbook. I use this technology in a textbook to enable my students, especially girls, those who are not attending in classrooms, to learn at home at their own pace. These QR coded textbook help them or make learning more personalized. Now they can sit at home and still they can learn anytime, anywhere. They can express, they can share their learning, they can discuss with others and continue the teaching learning process. Interventions like alarm on, TV off. I had set up an alarm on school's building and it rings at 7 p.m. every night. So this was an indication for parents. Now stop working what you are doing. Now sit together with your kids and help him in his study to complete his homework. So gradually parents started to understand their responsibility and their role in their kids' future and their education. Students also started taking responsibility of their learning. I did initiated project campaign like community engagement program to create awareness among the parents about education, especially girls' educations, because girls were expected to sit at home, do the cooking and other stuff, and take care of their little brothers and sisters, and then get married. Community engagement programs had changed the lenses of parents, the way they should look at girls' education. Girls are also important in the community, in the development of community. They started believing in girls' education as well.
So what were the challenges that you faced during this journey, and especially from the community, as you're talking about the community awareness, from the community and the fact that, you know, you had no facilities to educate and you had to actually come up with new solutions for that?
Challenges started to push me from day one, because I had to get my classroom first and then I could start teaching there. So for 6 months, it took me 6 months to get back my classrooms. Talking about the specifically challenges, like I would like to mention the unawareness of parents for the education, poor status of infrastructures, language barriers, and students' academic performance was low. So these were the challenges before me. But as I told you, when challenges comes, it comes with solutions as well. So I more believe in a solution part rather than focusing on challenges.
So what drives you to make that extra effort to make sure that young girls received a good education? What is the driving force behind it? And were there any moments when you felt like giving up?
Yes, there were so many incidences at the time. I felt depressed. It's like I'm losing. I had to get my classrooms in next 6 months, and that man always shouted at me, throwing stones on me, my bike was broken. So there were so many ups and down moments in these 12 years of teaching. But I think the driving force is all about my passion. I know what girls can do. So as a teacher, I just had to unleash their potential, empower them and give them confidence. They can do. They are also important. A couple of examples, but I don't want to tell their names. And she was, I think, in grade 7 or 8, and she was about to marry, probably. It was a Sunday. And one of the neighborhood rushed at my house and he told me, Sir, she's getting married. You have to stop. You have to do something. And I was shocked. How can a girl of age 13 can get married? So I directly rushed there and I saw marriage was about to happen. And I talked to her parents and told them, this is completely illegal. You cannot do this. But he told me, no, it's our decision. You don't have to interfere in our family decisions. So looking at that situation, I thought, no, I can't stop this. So I directly called the police and they stopped it. Police had played their role and they went back. But the community was very angry at me. They were very angry at me. But it took some time. I convinced them that girls should marry up to the legal age, up to the 18th. And why it is important. I told them the physical importance, the mental importance, and then educational and economical importance as well.
So what kind of impact do you see? What kind of difference your interventions have made since the time you started and now? And especially, how did you cope up during the COVID period?
Yeah, actually, you can say that we were ready for such type of a crisis. We have been using these QR codes. What I did, I took a help of private sector companies and asking them for their CSR funds to ensure that every student in my classroom has access to technology, access to devices, and access to internet as well. So we have make sure that every family, at least a single mobile in every family is there. And according to that, we manage our teaching learning process.
So how has all these measures changed the educational scenario in your area, in your village over the years?
So especially talking about the outcomes, what are the changes it has brought, what the transformation has been done. Now, there is 0% teenage marriages in last 10 years. 100% attendance of all the students and girls as well. And now parents believing to invest in education. These are the top three outcomes, the changes I could brought in last 12 years. Students now, in terms of academic performance and their status in the competitive exams as well, so 90% of my students have achieved grade A before completing this academic year.
So you've also announced that the $1 million prize that you've got, you would share it with the other 9 finalists. What is the thought behind this?
So much has been talked and the world is appreciating me for these generous efforts. I think, you know, teachers across the world, they work for the outcomes, not for the incomes. Teachers always share mindset, their skills, their knowledge, information with students. Why don't we share our prize money as well? By sharing that prize money, my intention is that to support their good work, to support the excellent work that they are doing in the classrooms. That prize money will inspire them, motivate them to continue the way they were doing. Because this prize money does matter to those students as well in Africa, in Vietnam, in Italy, in Brazil, in US as well. So it's not like limiting ourselves within the four borders of India or the four borders of a country. I think the world is my classroom. So every student in the world, I'm helping him, I'm supporting him. And that sharing that prize money is ultimately to achieve that vision of empowering every student in this world to unleash his potential and to contribute in the welfare of society.
And what are you planning to do with your share of the award?
I'm getting 50% of that $1 million. So I'll be using the 20% of prize money for my project called as Let's Cross the Borders. This is the project where we invite entries from most conflicted countries like India, Pakistan, Israel, Palestine, Iraq, Iran. We invite students and teachers from all these countries, sit together and discuss why are we fighting? What are the similarities and differences? So this is a 6-week long project. So I'll be investing 20% of my prize money to promote the peace, to promote the principle of non-violence and make this world a much better place and more peaceful place. The 30% of prize money will be used for teacher innovation. It will be called as Teachers Innovation Fund. And I'm looking for more and more Ranjit Desai across the country, across the world, trying to find out them and scale up their innovation. So many teachers are doing excellent work. I just want to recognize them, support them, whether they need money to scale up their projects, their good work. This Teachers Innovation Fund will be used to support teachers' innovation in the classroom.